Hey everybody, Ellie Noss here. Atomic Moms is a weekly parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our little ones and ourselves. I join forces with celebrities, best-selling authors, parenting experts, and caregivers all over the world to hear their unique stories in this universal experience of raising a child. Oh my gosh, how is Easter already here? Can we just slow down? Just like a little bit, just a little bit? I have an adorable book for you all to add to your Easter baskets. It's called The Sheep Over. It's a farm animal book, and I'm going to have it up on our website, atomicmoms.com. Husband and wife team, John and Jennifer Churchman, created this stunning and completely unique picture book. I've never seen anything like it, based on animals on their farm in Essex, Vermont. So this project started with Kickstarter. It grew like crazy. It snowballed, and now they have a three-book deal. And it's all about Sweet Pea the lamb and a dog named Laddie. I grew up with a dog named Laddie. Anyway, it'd be great for Easter baskets and anyone. I mean, it's not only for Christians. But, you know, Easter's around the corner. Okay, guys. We went to Disneyland this weekend We went Friday and we came back Sunday. So that's a lot of days at Disneyland. We went with my in-laws and our toddler. And we had breakfast with Minnie, which is where Minnie and her sort of like C-list Disney celebrity friends join her, and they come around to all the tables. Sabrina is not a fan of Captain Hook. She is a strong judge of character, my Sabrina. She knew not to, just because Captain Hook is famous doesn't mean we need to respect him or like him. He's really a jerk. So Sabrina pretty much gave him a cold shoulder, and you can see that picture on our Atomic Mom social media on Twitter and Instagram. Minnie took a while to get to us. Minnie took like 40 minutes, and a toddler takes about 20 minutes to eat and to throw all of their food on the floor. So we were waiting for a while. Minnie was not the most gracious host. It took a really long time. It took like 40 minutes. I actually had to, I got a little type A. I was like, we got to move on to all the rides before the lines are too long. We got teacups to ride. Where is Minnie? Winnie the Pooh came over. That was so sweet. My little girl just like melted into Winnie's fur. And then Minnie came over and she was really nice. You know, she had a lot of people to greet, so she was quick. And Sabrina just kept kind of tagging along. I had to kind of pull her out of the other tourists' photos. It's like these 18-year-old girls from Japan, and Sabrina's like photobombing. Oh, boy. Anyway, today, this is all about today's episode. That's why you're listening. Okay, so pour a little wine in your coffee mug, because today's episode is kind of like a Sex and the City girlfriend hang. Jess and I have never met, but she's a force of nature, and she's so like conversational and open and confident. And I felt like I knew her immediately. She's one of those people who could probably convince me to do something really embarrassing and incredibly regrettable if we ever went to Vegas together. She's also the host of the digital series New Mom Diaries for TLC. And she created and hosts Jess of All Trades for NYC TV, blogs for Glamour Magazine, TLC.com, and co-hosted the original Modern Girl's Guide to Life on the Style Network. She was also an Emmy Award-nominated producer for her work on the ABC's The Chew and Bizarre Foods for the Travel Channel. And her resume goes on and on. Today, we're talking to her about her digital series, New Mom Diaries for TLC. I can't wait to share the links for it. I love what she is willing to point the camera towards, and how open and vulnerable and messy she is willing to be on camera to share with us her experience as a new mom. So we talk about the importance of mom groups. We share some quick and easy beauty tips for feeling like your sexy old self again. Don't listen to my tip. My tip is gross. I'm really embarrassed about my tip. I was just thinking of like, what did I do quickly to make myself feel a little better as a new mom? And I shared it. And maybe I shouldn't have shared it. But you know what? I'm not going to edit it because I'm too tired. because I'm sustaining on a diet of coffee and string cheese. And I'm lactose intolerant. And did I mention we just got back from Disneyland? So we're going to talk also about how our relationships with our partners affect our kids. This conversation is one big happy blur for me. I think you all will enjoy it. I most certainly enjoyed living it. Subscribe on iTunes.com/AtomicMoms for upcoming interviews. And I'll be right back with Jess Zeno.
I was in, thank God I'm in a mommy's class.
Okay, let's start. This is ridiculous. Okay. Okay, we're rolling. Okay, listeners. I was like, oh God, we have to start recording. This is ridiculous because we were just doing the show without you all. So apologies. Don't worry, you didn't really miss anything. I have Jess in my living room. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, Jess. Okay, so your son, to start off with, Roan, he is 9 months old.
He will be 9 months, yes, in a few days.
In a few days.
So I was saying that a lot of women will be like, oh, my son is 36 weeks or my son is I literally, from the day he was born, I didn't know what, like, week he was.
No, me neither. Plus, I'm terrible at math.
Oh, absolutely.
And when Jess just told me what, 9 months, I was like, okay, well, I have no idea what that means, but if I'm going to go backwards from September, because that's Sabrina's birthday, oh, that was June for Sabrina of that year. That's what she was like. Okay, so.
That is the way that you do the math. Sabrina's going to be so lucky when she gets into elementary school and you're helping her with her homework.
That makes no sense. I know. But yeah, we were saying that we don't know anything about development, personal or otherwise.
Nope. I'm so lucky that I'm in, that I had like the fortitude to take a mommy and me class, because it was only in this mommy and me class where they would be like, okay, now you're going to feed your children. And I was like, wait a minute, we give them food when they're this young?
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
Had no idea.
Well, and there's always a controversy. Like, when do you introduce the food? So some people say it's like too early, such and such month. Clearly, I know nothing about any of this. I'm like, such and such month. I know the controversy, people. You know, some people say it's too early. Other people say, no, you got to get in that food early, because otherwise they won't be interested in different tastes.
Uh-huh.
So where was your mommy and me group?
My mommy and me group is at the pump station.
Oh, that's where mine was.
You know, I went to another one, but I wasn't into it.
What turned you off of the other one?
Oh, gosh. I hope she doesn't listen to this. It's primarily the teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very far, too. It was like a schlep. Like, I didn't feel like getting in the car and, like, going all the way there. But once I got there, I just wasn't that into the teacher. There was no sense of – she would force us to sort of – communicate and connect, but then wouldn't allow us to speak in the class.
How does she force you to connect without speaking?
You guys should start a Facebook group. You know, there's a place next door. You should have lunch there tomorrow. You should go to the park around the corner. But then she wouldn't allow us to speak or ask questions in the class.
The whole point is group therapy.
Exactly. So I was totally turned off by this, which is funny because everyone was like, you got to go to this class, you got to go to this class. And I have to say, I sort of had said to some of my other friends, you guys, you got to go to this class with me. And I led them all down into the path of this horrifying experience.
I secretly feel really good when everybody likes something and I realize, like, no, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes me feel like I'm awesome.
You are awesome.
I am awesome. Pump Station.
Yes.
For me was great. And we've got episodes in the archives with the two founders of it. Some of the moms in that group, they've been guests on the show. They're upcoming guests on the show. It's such a – man, guys, if you haven't found a mommy group yet, check it out, because – and don't find a mommy group where everybody does the same thing you do. What I loved about mine was, like, everybody was so different. And I found that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, like, moms who had just adopted their babies. There were moms that were, like, so hippy-dippy. There were moms that were about to go back to work. And I think that that's such a special time to realize that, like, we're all in it.
To speak to what you're saying, we had this conversation yesterday in our class, because mine is on Mondays. My teacher is Marilee, and she's, like, 75. and has like 20 grandkids. So like you feel comforted. And she's also super, I don't know, she's just like super like, she seems like she's in like knows child development, like a teacher. So it feels good that she's the teacher.
She's the captain.
Oh my God, the other class was just horrifying. But I want to say who it is, but then I don't want to say who it is because I have other friends who are like, oh my God, this lady was the best.
Yeah, don't do it because then I'll lose all the listeners.
You got it. Okay, sorry. You probably will because she's very popular.
We are Switzerland in the mommy war. okay, Jess, let's start with there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. I feel like watch out world, now that we know each other, this is going to be problematic. But I want
to problematic is a great word to put to it.
Okay, first of all, I have to get something off my chest. Actually, my shoulder. I burned myself. Look at this.
Oh my God.
I burned my shoulder this morning curling my hair for you. I didn't have much time, so I was distracted and I burned myself.
How did that happen? Were you rolling up what is it called?
The barrel? I was rolling it up while I was trying to watch your what's your amazing one that you did in New York?
Jess of all trades.
Yes, it's like a Sex in the City kind of thing. Yeah. I was like watching that while curling my hair, guys. I'm a serious businesswoman. I was doing research, and I burned the crap out of myself.
It's a pretty bad burn.
It keeps getting worse. Like at first, it seemed like nothing, and now I think my shoulder might melt off.
It's super red. So did you put any ice on it?
No, I put lotion.
Do you have aloe plant?
No. Look, are you kidding me?
I'm like, yeah. Where's the aloe plant?
We're not in Silver Lake. Okay.
You should put ice on that because that's really red.
Okay.
And feel like it's like peeling your skin off.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we're back. I have a
I have this. I have this.
Oh, you have?
This is from Fish's Eddie.
It is.
I have this.
I spent 3 months in New York, and I got this when I was there.
Oh,
it's
that's
a
nice
dish towel, everybody, with
the Williamsburg Bridge on it.
Yep.
And the Manhattan Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge. All the bridges of New York.
And so it's my shoulder pad of ice right now.
oh, my God.
Okay. Wait. We have to focus for a minute.
Yes.
I want to kick this off with New Mom Diaries.
Yes.
For TLC. Okay, let's talk about it.
Can I tell you how this happened?
Yeah. Wait. First, tell us, like, what it is.
I will.
Okay.
So New Mom Diaries is a digital series for TLC.com. And essentially it's me with a camera just being a new mom. And I have been shooting or filming rather literally since the day my son was born. So I'm so thankful like that I got the opportunity to capture all of this footage of like being up in the middle of the night on the third day, you know, the absolute desperation and sleep deprivation I had on the fifth day, like all of that got captured, which I was super psyched about. I don't know if they'll actually end up using it in the end because I just deliver the footage to TLC and then they post produce it.
Okay. And I want our listeners to know that the ones that I've seen so far, you know, yes, while I was burning the shit out of myself, okay, this is not like your classic mommy Instagram, I'm in heels while like washing my baby's cloth diapers. This is like, this is like a documentary. Like this is like the war zone.
Yes,
like you're in the car, like there's no lighting. This is awesome.
It's raw.
It's raw. A friend, awesome.
Thank you. A friend of mine. A friend was like, it's really like it could be hard to watch because like you're like you really went there with it.
But you were funny and it's still light. You know what I mean? This isn't like a postpartum PSA. Which, by the way, if anyone's having any issues, listen to our amazing podcast that I did, a three-mom postpartum panel. So I'm not making fun of it. But this is where you're in it. You're not wearing makeup. You don't care what you look like. It's the way we all feel in the morning, and you're just showing it and being funny.
Yes. Thank you. So the way that when we were discussing what it was going to be, they kind of threw the word around like it's like the Lena Dunham of motherhood. You know, like just real raw. Totally exposed. the thing that I don't know why I'm choosing to talk about this like right up the top, but like I gained a lot of weight when I was pregnant, and like that's like a really big deal for me because I'm like bugging out about it still 8 months later. And I just went on that thing and was like, you know what? F it. Like, I'm not going to wait until I lose 30 pounds to, like, show off what being a new mom is. Because being a new mom is bugging out that you gained 30 pounds and can't get it off. So I'm very emotional about the whole thing. And I try not to think about that I'm filming it. I just film it. And I just put it there. I just give it to the people. And I say, now you go.
With your background as a celebrity stylist too, and also like the other things you've produced where you're a host and you look so Sex in the City and like very polished and like super cute bright outfits, and so like you've got that in your repertoire, was it extra hard to be like, you know what, no, this is me in my sweatshirt, this is me trying to hike and like look at my tummy?
Yes, it was hard because I'm embarrassed about what I look like right now. And if I'm just, thank you, but I'm like just being honest, like I'm embarrassed by it. So that's the most hard for me. But the other thing is, even though I present myself out there, or if I go out or prior to being a mother, I wore a lot of red and hot pink lipstick. I wore a lot of poppy clothes. That was my identity almost. But at the end of the day, I literally am just a, like, I'm just a chick who enjoys being in my loungewear and the sneakers. So what you're seeing can, like, is as real as I am. Like, I don't.
Is that so freeing? Let's talk about liberation for a minute, man.
It is freeing. The thing terrifying. It's terrifying. Again, like I'm talking about it.
Those go hand in hand, don't they? Yes. I swear. Liberation and terrification go hand in hand for me.
Yes. Agreed. Totally agreed. I think that for me, I was never a woman who put on makeup. Like, I just wasn't. Even though I'm, like, wearing a full face of makeup right now. Like, no, I never do
very
this.
Very glowy.
I never, ever do this.
Well, you know how to do it.
Thanks.
Let's
this
give
is
me
BB
a makeover.
This is BB cream. This is Bobbi Brown BB cream.
Okay.
And it just, you just need one little swipe.
Okay, what's like the glowy cheeks? What's that?
Nothing.
Rosy. Oh, that's just
like, oh no, I have a little bit
loving
of
your life.
And it's just a little bit of Stila.
Okay.
Like in a very bright pink. I just did a quick swipe so that you get a little sparkle and a little pink. And then the lip is a lip. I don't have any color on. It's just a lip plumper.
Okay, so is that the thing that burns your lips?
Yes. So
it's
my
like
lips are on
snake,
fire right
like a
now.
A venom thing?
Yes.
I used to do that when we started the podcast with Bianca. I would be like, oh, my lips are burning. We got to stop. My lips are burning.
Now, luckily, I didn't bring Roan here today because I can't wear it when I'm with him because I kiss him and then it irritates his skin. So, like, all the things that I want to be doing, I can't do around the baby. I have to like not put the lip plumper on. I have a like something called a brunette detox because I have like these grays in my hair. So from Dry Bar, it's a dry shampoo that colors the hair where the gray is.
Oh, that's
so,
a great
but
trick.
I can't. I know. I love it so much. It's my new favorite product. But I can't always wear it because it's so toxic. And Roan's always like up in my business and in my hair. So. I did it for you today. Like, all of this is just for you.
It's all an act, and I'm appreciating it. But, you know, I love you on New Mom Diaries, so that would have been okay, too.
Yeah. I love the idea. Like, you said, you know, you want a makeover. Like, I would love the idea of doing, like, mom makeovers.
Yes.
Because being a new mom feels so ick sometimes.
And it's got to be, like, fast stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what can you get done in 5 minutes?
Not only fast stuff, but what are those things that you could do in 5 minutes that are quick that make you feel really good?
Yep.
Ladies, lip plumper is the thing. Like, if you can get away with not being around your kid for a day.
Right.
Lip plumper makes you feel sexy. Your lips get all pouty and bee stung. And so what if they burn?
I used to just, like, wipe myself down with, like, a washcloth. Like, the horse bath. Is that what they call it? I feel like that's the ultimate mom trick. Oh, God, I'll never be on TLC talking like that.
How I got into the TLC New Mom Diaries was interesting. I was I was always sort of creating stuff and doing stuff, and I was pregnant, and I this sounds so Hollywood. I wrote my agent, and I was like, hey, let's go pitch TLC about doing something called Baby on Board. Like, I'm pregnant. Let's follow me being pregnant. And it didn't work out timing-wise, but they started following me on Instagram, and I guess I was posting stuff that was raw and funny on Instagram that the week I had the baby, they were like, okay, we're ready to do something now. Let's do it, you as a new mom. And
what was your first thought when you got that?
You know what? My first thought was, what's so funny is I didn't really, I was like, okay, great, let's do it. It wasn't like, I was like, yes, I got a show. I had just given birth. I had a C-section. I had just gotten out of major surgery. It was literally the third day. So I remember having the meeting and I hadn't slept still from giving birth. And I was just out of my mind. And on that call, I was just cursing up a storm and talking about how I felt like I was in the Vietnam War. And they were like, yes, this is all what we want. So we're going to send you a camera.
Use it. Use it.
Just start shooting. And I did. And I did. Never aware that I was actually making a show that people would watch. I just did it. Yeah. So it's been really cool.
So we were talking about body image and, like, yes, sort of the pre-baby versus post-baby, like, relationship with our bodies. And I'm curious about other relationships that have changed for you. Like, how about your spouse?
Yes.
What's changed with the husband?
Oh, gosh. Well, that really is a work in progress, like, every single minute of every single day. I had the baby. So I'm going to be 40 in September. So, like, I'm no spring chicken. Like, I've been around this block many, 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 many times. And I got married later in life, which I appreciate because I was with a lot of people before then.
Me too, but I got married at 24.
Oh, wow. Wee zowie. You got it out early.
Yeah.
I got it out over an extended period of time. So it was a lot. But when I got married, I was like 36 years old, and I was like, I'm ready to settle down now. Or at least that in my head, like, that seemed okay. And our relationship, we were in New York City. Our relationship was fun, and getting married was super fun. And we didn't plan on having a child. We planned on having a family, but we didn't plan on starting it as quickly as it started. Rowan was like, a surprise pregnancy at 37 years old. So we weren't ready for it.
Wait, pause for a minute. The week of finding out you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah. It was a good one.
Can you give me a highlight?
Oh, my God. So good.
In the highlight reel.
We had gone to Hawaii.
Oh, that's good.
I got this tattoo while I was pregnant.
It's a little triangle on the inside of your arm.
Mm-hmm. I drank copious amounts of alcohol.
Uh-huh.
We jumped off of waterfalls, ate tons of sushi. I came back to LA and I had to fly to New York. And in New York, I got really sick and I thought I had the flu. And I came back from New York and I had to leave again for a work thing. And the day before I left, I was like, man, I got to go to, like, the walk-in or the urgent clinic or something. I feel so sick. Maybe I can get, like, a B shot. And I walked in and the doctor said, well, when was, you know, just common questions. When was the last time you got your period? And I was like, I don't remember. And then we went on with the situation, whatever that's called. What is it called when you see a doctor?
Appointment?
Appointment. I don't know. Is it called an appointment? It's lost on me. I surely have
now
mommy
brain.
Now I'm
like trying to find a better word for it. Okay, continue.
We were in right. Okay. If anyone out there.
I want to say session, but that's a therapy. No. That's another kind of doctor.
We were at the appointment and
but it was just you.
It was just me.
It's just you.
And she does the whole appointment.
Yeah.
And then I left and I said, you know, I really probably should go to the pharmacy and maybe get, like, a pregnancy test. And I wasn't even thinking, oh, sure, because I'm pregnant. I was like, nah, let me just take care of that. So I go and get a pregnancy test and I go home and I take the pregnancy test. And sure enough, it says I'm pregnant. So I call the doctor back, Hollywood Urgent Care. And I said,
is that the one next to Whole Foods?
No, it's the one.
There used to be a Russian one.
No, it's the one that's across from the post office on Selma.
Oh, even classier.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a true Hollywood story.
Yeah. You know, you might see, oh, you know, what's her name? You might see Julia Roberts on the corner. Yeah.
Yes. There were definitely prostitutes in the waiting room when I found out I was having a child. So I took the pregnancy test. It said yes. I called the urgent care and I said, I was there like 5 minutes ago. Do I have to pay again if I come back in? Will you give me a blood test? And I go in. They give the blood test. The doctor comes in the room and she's like, so you are definitely pregnant. And I was like, wait, what? And I started to hysterically cry. And she's like, are you okay? She said, you know, there are options. And I said, no, it's fine. I'm married.
I have a great life.
I was like, I'm 37. It's fine.
So, meanwhile, all these mothers that are 37 are like killing themselves and trying to get pregnant. Okay. Yeah,
I just got really drunk is what I did.
You just got to jump off some waterfalls. I mean, that is our fertility treatment.
That's my advice. My great advice. Yeah, this kid just wanted to be born, you know, because he came. And I was shocked at first. And then I went home and I literally stared at the wall for a good 5 hours. And my husband came. I didn't call my husband. I waited until he came home. And then he came home and I was like, so you think I'm pregnant? He said, do you think you're pregnant or are you pregnant? And I was like, no, I'm pregnant. And then
The clinic on Selma said.
Yeah. Where the prostitutes are. I was there just a couple of hours ago and we're having a baby. And I went to the doctor and I was like 10 weeks pregnant.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm jealous about that.
But
because then you're already it. Like, but once I knew, more weeks and then you're just smooth sailing potentially. Like the first 3 months were terrible. I knew because my boobs hurt so badly.
Uh-huh.
And then I was sick all the time.
Once I found out, I like really played into it. I was like, oh, I'm pregnant. I feel so sick. Like,
I'm so exhausted. This is worse than mono. And it was, but yeah, I'm also like very suggestible. So I
think me too.
You know, if you're a hypochondriac and you get pregnant, you probably are going to have a lot of the symptoms.
Yes, totally. I think once I found out, I was like, I feel very nauseous. All of a sudden, I wasn't nauseous literally ever. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm very, very nauseous and tired.
Okay. So you have the baby, and then how did your relationship with your husband?
Right.
How about this? How did it evolve?
So this is what I'm going to be very truthful about this, and I love my husband, so I hope I mean no disrespect when I say any of these things. My boy was born, and I was like, I love him the most. And I know that husbands are supposed to get their fair share of relationship love and your partner love, and one must maintain that in order to keep it all alive. Roan was born and I was like, he's the most important thing in the entire universe to me, and I will do whatever it takes to make sure that he has the safety and the love and just a good life. And my husband's actions were all of a sudden underneath the microscope because everything he did, I was like, no, no, not cool. Don't do that. Don't do this. So I became incredibly naggy.
That's a word I've never heard. I mean, that is, and also that word, man, he'd never said that about me before the baby. He used to call me his manic pixie pain in the ass, but he would never call me like a nagging wife.
Yes.
And then I became a nagging wife. And I'm like, well, then listen the first 10 times and I won't nag.
Yes. If you please understand that he needs this. So just be doing this. Why are you not doing these things? So everything that he's doing is just under a microscope for me.
And so, we're so out of control that like we want to control something. And that happens to be the man we're sleeping next to.
Oh, God. So I don't think that I've been – I mean, I'm 8 months in, so I can't say that, like, I just had a baby last week. But I don't think I'm being very nice. And something I've been thinking a lot about lately is mindful parenting.
Yes.
And how to – what I want for my son. And one of those things is when I was growing up, I come from a very loud Italian family that literally they just scream at each other. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's all the time.
My parents are got divorced when I was very young. And my dad's side of the family is Eastern European. And it's just the shouting and the shouting. And I would go back to my mom's house after spending a week with my dad and my grandparents and stuff. And my mom would be like, can you please stop yelling? Because I just walk around the house. It's just me and her. And I'd be so loud because it's like the only way you could get your thoughts across.
But it's also the way we express ourselves. Yeah. So like I'm loud all the time and I express myself by yelling. And sometimes my yelling's not even nice. And my parents were not nice and they were always screaming at each other. My grandparents were always screaming at my parents too. And at me and everybody.
My grandmother would be like, you're such a jackass.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. Son of a bitch, go get my lottery tickets. I love you. Like that was just it. So that's how I relate to my husband, unfortunately for him. So a lot of what I do is just a lot of yelling. And then when I think about mindful parenting, I'm like, oh, geez. I have anxiety issues as an adult because I was raised in that atmosphere. I don't want Roan to feel the fear and anxiety that I feel. I don't want him to feel like it really
gets... isn't Jess like the perfect guest for our podcast? Like everything we get really excited about.
That feeling of unsafe, you know, that I don't think that's a grammatical word.
Unsettling.
It's like feels unsafe.
It does.
I want Roan to feel safe.
And grounded.
Grounded. Nah.
Oh, I want Sabrina to feel grounded. But that's probably because I already see that she's a wild maniac who thinks she can fly. She jumped off a picnic bench at school the other day. I had to watch the security camera video.
Did they make you watch it?
No, I'm the first mother ever who... asked the school to the security camera.
Good for you.
Because they didn't know what happened. She couldn't walk when I picked her up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, there wasn't a stone in her shoe. And I was like, well, what? Can we see like a video of what might have happened? Anyway, I watched my daughter jumping off a picnic bench because she thought she could fly. And she just fell. And then she didn't get up. And then she like kind of crawled like she was in the movie The Revenant towards a teacher. But so yes, I'm looking for, I hear what you're saying. Like we don't need groundedness necessarily when they're really young, but Sabrina could, she's already a jumper. She's already shooting for the stars. Yeah.
She was crying. Oh,
well, it was on
baby.
Mute on the video. But
right, but
I'm
you could see
sure.
She was in pain and crying.
She was distressed.
So I just want to point something out that you said like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, good.
You said that your husband calls you a pixie.
Yeah, manic pixie.
Right? So do you think that Sabrina
is
that as well? Do you think
she's got that in her? She's so goofy. She's so fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
And she's so fearless because of what you're saying. Like, I have a lot of anxiety that I'm constantly managing or massaging. and so with her, I never – put that on her. So at the playground, I would always just let her go where she wanted to go, and I'd sort of shadow her so that she could do it, and if she fell, I'd catch her. And maybe now I'm like hearing the critic in my head being like, well, Ellie, you know, you should teach children that there are dangers. But like, no, like I'd rather my daughter climb up to the highest part of the tower
and
learn there.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome that you're listening to your intuition and your inner mothering. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm not there yet just because he's not old enough yet for me to have those thoughts yet. But my thoughts definitely right now are in that I scream at the dog like every 5 seconds. Oh, the other thing is I curse like a mother, like all the time.
Yeah,
I
that's going to bite you.
F-word a lot.
Yeah, that's going to bite you in the butt. You like how I just said butt?
Yes,
that
was
I'm like
so
trying,
clean.
I'm trying to be clean. Because she repeats everything we say. Everything we say.
Do you want to hear the sweetest and the saddest thing? And this really was the thing that made me say, like, I have to kind of be really mindful and I think probably get into therapy with my husband right now, is I was crying the other day. I was sad about something and I was crying in front of Roan because I am an emotional loud person.
Yeah.
And he was trying to make me laugh. This kid is 8 months old, and he was trying to make me laugh. He does a stand-up routine, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I can tell you about.
He and Sabrina can go on the road together. Let me tell you.
But he was, like, trying to make me laugh, and I thought, oh, my God, this is heartbreaking that this poor little boy notices and identifies my sadness and is trying to make me happy.
He's
I was
trying
like,
to fix you. You've got a baby codependent.
Oh, God. But, like, I was like, I do not want my son to feel like he has to fix his crazy mom.
Okay, but do you want me to spin it for 1 second?
Please do.
I think that it's also awesome. I mean, I don't know what the situation was, but it's awesome for your son to see his mother allowing herself to have feelings.
So can we talk about that for a second? Sure. Because I agree with that. Like, I don't. So even though I'm saying all of these things about how I need to be a little bit more quiet, like, do I? No. Because I want to be authentic with my son. I want to be honest. He's such a chill little kid. Like, he doesn't possess, I don't know what he's going to be like because he's so chill and his dad and I are so over the top. It's so funny. But, like, I don't, if I change, then I'm not myself and then he's not seeing me and I want him to be him.
Yes.
You know?
I think that if you are sad about, see, my husband and I will get in arguments about this because he thinks, you know, kids shouldn't have to deal with their parents' problems. And to him, the idea of seeing a parent upset is unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're no longer the captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I remember when Sabrina was probably Roan's age, I was super upset about something. And then Sabrina was there and I said to her, you know, it's okay. You know, mommy's crying. Mommy's sad, but it's okay.
Right.
Mommy loves you. It's okay.
Yes.
And I think that that's sort of the way I go about it because she can feel it anyway.
Yes.
She can feel if I'm upset.
Absolutely.
So why not shed the tears and release them and move on?
Absolutely.
That way she has permission to do it too. And then I think as far as like allowing ourselves to be ourselves, I think that's really important. And from what you're saying, like, I don't have a Dr. Phil camera in your house where I get to watch all the drama unfold. But from knowing you a very short period of time, it doesn't seem like – it seems like you're loud and you're passionate, but that's – you know, you're not – it doesn't seem like you're carrying around a ton of negative baggage.
No, I have negativity is not something I'm interested in. I don't focus on that. I focus on – I don't want to say I focus on the positive, but I focus on authenticity and I focus on passion and just true expression. And my true expression happens to be very loud and lots of movement. So just what you were saying about how kids feel. So I grew up, again, with these parents who were screaming, but my mother never would cry in front of me. And I had this conversation with her on the phone last night because I've been thinking a lot about this stuff. And I was like, Ma, you know, like, you didn't cry in front of me. And she was like, because I go pick up my strength. And I was like, I feel like my mother wanted to cry, and I always felt the cry. I felt the cry. I intuitively felt her cry. I felt the pain. I felt her anxiety and her fear.
You end up holding on to her crying because she can't release it.
Yes.
Our children are the ones who are like holding on to all our baggage that we don't release.
Yes. So I don't want him to feel responsible for my feelings, but I also don't want him to like, he knows. We're all connected. We all know what's going on, even though we're not saying it or showing it. And that really screwed me up as an adult with my mom. Because it really screwed me up because I always felt like she was like lying, not in a negative way or a bad way, but like that she was lying to me because she wasn't being truthful about what she was feeling because I would feel it anyway.
Right.
And she was saying something else.
My mom is the queen of being like, her one phrase
it's fine. Anyway.
It's chill. Which is like, we spoke about it last week, drives me insane.
My mom says, anyway. She goes.
So that's like, that's her own way
that's
of dismissing.
It's over. She'll go, anyway. And it's like, no, not anyway. Can we please talk about
this? My mom would be like,
this?
Just get over it. Get over it.
Get over it.
Yeah. I'm like, this is about your history. So what I would say, though, if in terms of, obviously, every week I'm geeking out about parenting with presence and mindful parenting and all the different ways we can say the same thing.
Yes.
Conscious parenting. I had a guest on recently who wrote the book The Perfect Parent, and her name is Roma Katarpal, and I always say her name not as well as she does. And she had a great point. And it was the idea of take five, that every day we can take 5 minutes with our children where we have no agenda and we're just present with them. And so I think maybe for your situation, what would be kind of a fun experiment is to see what's it like to spend 5 minutes with my son where I have no agenda and also where I keep my mouth shut.
Yes.
Like, and see – And I'm sure you're doing that already. But like that, those moments add up too.
Yes.
Like we can be loud and crazy.
We are quiet together. I'm quiet with Roan. I'm not quiet with my husband.
But is your husband, are they together a lot?
No? Yeah. I mean, we're all together in the house. Yes. Yeah. But so Roan might be, Roan is seeing what's going on, you know, because we are together. So that's the other thing. And I said this to my husband this morning, that I don't want Roan to see me emasculating my husband because I'm the one that's like trying to control everything or trying to keep the house together or becoming the, you know, male figure, not male, but the male energy of the relationship. I don't want Roan to see that. Roan needs to know what being a man is. So
and respect his father.
And respect his father and see that his mother respects his father and see love. So I feel like there is all types of twistedness going on right now.
I love it.
And I'm so
we have not had the topic of ball busting on our show yet.
But I'm so it's so twisted that I literally it is our goal, my husband and mine's goal, by the end of the week that we are in couples therapy. Because this is moving so fast and getting so out of control as far as, like, what Roan is seeing. Mm. I do not want this kid.
Well, good for you for finding someone to help with that.
Yes.
And we share a mom group on Facebook, and I can't tell you guys the number of mothers who've jumped on being like, oh, my gosh, couples therapy saved us. Couples therapy, couples therapy, couples therapy.
Yes.
We have not done it yet, but I can – man, it would be useful to have
just a mediator, tools,
a mediator, that's and it. A way to, and a language,
yes,
a respectful language where we can get out what we need to say.
And I think that mothers were so tired all the time that, like, you don't have the brain capacity to be like thoughtful about what your husband like needs emotionally, so you're just like, you know, take out the diaper genie. If you do not take out the diaper genie, I'm going to put the diaper genie in your car and stink it up.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I was, but I was trying to keep it cleaner.
Okay. Quickly, because we're running out of time, I've got to talk to you about, you know, working mom tips. And specifically, our listeners can go online and see your video about working mom tips.
Yes.
But I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how to set boundaries.
Yes.
Because you bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just start there.
I think that setting boundaries, well, one, you really have to have, oh, God, and again, you're probably, and I'm still so exhausted that it's hard to set those boundaries, but I think that you need to be, you really need to dig down and get your, you know, you have to have your strength about you when you do set those boundaries, because you're, again, so tired that it's easy for someone just to upset you or make you feel bad about what you're doing at work or what have you. But to say, like, if you have to pump at work, I need a room. It is within my legal, like, rights to have a room where I can pump, and I go there. If people are going out and smoking cigarettes, like, you and have their designated smoking space where they go and smoke for 10 minutes every five minutes, you can have your pumping room, you know, and it's legal. So make sure that you're I think one needs to be honest about what their situation is, because I just feel like if you're honest, then there's no hiding. So when I say boundaries, that's what I mean. Just being very honest about what you need. I need to pump. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is the schedule I'm doing. I can't work on a Friday. What can we work out? Can I work remotely on a Friday? Just, you really have to have some balls to kind of speak to someone like that. But, like, I feel like
it's a little easier to step up, actually, when we're moms, because our priorities have changed. Yes. And it's not about us anymore.
Yes.
So I've found that I, while I'm a train wreck in my daily life, I am able to stand up for myself.
Yes. When it's
because it's not really about me anymore.
Yes. Yeah. And you definitely have, I feel like I have that mama bear or that just mama lion personality. I kind of have it anyway, but like, I really have that mama lion personality where I'm like, I'm not doing this. How can we work it out? Like, I'll get your job done. I'll get the work done. No worries about that. It just might not look what you think it's going to look like. So let's talk about how you can accommodate family, you know, working culture, you know, working mother culture. I think.
Delegating.
Delegating.
How do you delegate? I mean, you clearly, looking at your bio, you've figured out how to do it, because there's no way that you've been able to do all of this completely on your own.
Do you do
most of it on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah, you still do it all on your own.
Yes.
Damn it, I needed an answer here.
I did that back.
Podcast is amazing, and there is no delegating going on. I mean, I'm the queen of, like, if I hire a housekeeper, I'm going to clean up before she gets here.
Yes. I take this back about the delegation.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to do it more efficiently and better. My nanny is the best. So I know that when she comes into the house, I release motherhood completely altogether.
Do you have a list for her?
Yeah, I do have a list for her, but she's so rad that, like, we had an initial nanny that is now no longer with us. That one had a list from, like, this is your checklist. The nanny we have now is more like my friend that takes care of my child. So it becomes more about, like, oh, yeah, sure, take him. And she just develops him and cooks for him and does all these really great things. And I feel so safe.
Yes.
And I know.
That is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Having people in our home, man, I think a lot of people underestimate, or maybe they're just not as sensitive as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crucial that the person that walks into your home, that, like, you like them, mm-hmm. and that you want to be around them. And that, I mean, not only is it cool for your kids to be with them, but that their presence doesn't, you know, set you off in some weird way.
Yeah,
you
they're in your house
comfortable
all the time.
They're like a second spouse.
Yeah, yes. And I enjoyed our first nanny. This is such a ridiculous, I mean, oh, my first nanny that I had to, like,
yeah, but,
like,
you know what? You're a working mom, and a lot of working moms needed to hear this.
Right. So, okay, good. All right. Thank you for putting that into perspective.
It's true. And this show talks about all types of moms. And this is one, you know, not everyone has opportunity to have a nanny, and obviously, but for the ones that do, this is a tricky subject. So
yeah.
Let's talk about it.
It's a necessity for a working mother, I think. I have to say, even going back, my mother was very helpful. My parents, my whole family lives in New York. My husband and I are the only ones down here in LA trying to hide from everyone else. so my parents are in New York. They came out and stayed. My dad and mom stayed for 2 weeks. My dad went home, and then my mom stayed for like a month. And she got an Airbnb around the corner, so she wasn't in the house, but she was by the house.
Wow.
And it was very helpful. My mom is more type A than I am and found our first nanny.
I'll rent your mom the next the next round.
She really did all of the legwork of finding the nanny. So when I was really a wreck in the I was a wreck in the beginning, and when I went back to work at 2 months. So when that 2 months came, it was only 8 weeks. It was 8 weeks after an effing C-section, and I was still figuring out how to be just being a mother and my son. That was way too soon, by the way, for the working moms out there. I just want to say, and I'm somebody who loves to work, and my identity is working. 2 months was, like, too soon. This country really needs to step up and give some moms, like, some real true time with their children after they give birth. But anywho, whole nother discussion. My mom found our nanny, and she was a tremendous help, because when my mom left, it was an extension of her that this woman was in the house, and she was very helpful for a long time until it then unraveled into a total nightmare.
That happens.
Hoo-wee!
That should be
nightmare.
That should be an episode.
Yeah.
There are a lot of stories, and it's usually my friends who are so excited about their nannies, and they get so excited.
And then
they're like, oh, she's like my grandmother. And it's really intimate, and then something happens.
Yes. So something happened with us, and then luckily I just had this woman around the corner that we know, and it worked out. She had been a doula in the past, and it worked out, and she's an artist, and she's a fine artist now. And she's just sort of working on her art, so she was like, you know what? I would love to help you. She's so in love with my son. Her husband is super in love with my son. So not, and her mother is in love with the son, my son. So when I hand over Roan to her, the whole family gets him. Like, he's with an entire family.
You've created, like, a new Italian family situation in L.A.
I really did. And they're Italian. They're literally from Italy and from New York.
Well, that's how, there you go.
So I'm really thankful that that situation, like, showed itself to us. And I'm so appreciative of it. Because Roan is getting, like, an education and love and food that I can't cook for him and all of that.
I need this donut you gave
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no. Let's eat the donuts. But it's so loud.
It's so loud.
And they're a mess. Have you had these vegan donuts?
They're really good. So crumbly.
They're very crumbly. They're from Faux Nuts on 3rd Street.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, God.
What do you want Roan to always remember about his mama?
I think the most important thing that I want the world to, and when I say world, just anyone I meet, or how I want my legacy to live, is the same as what I want Roan to know, which is I'm an authentic person. I want him to know I am always truthful, always authentic. Honesty and integrity and creativity is my most important and cherished characteristics, and he doesn't need to have those necessarily, but I want him to recognize them. I want him to recognize how important it is to me. So that's not one. That was like 20. I can't answer a question, obviously.
Jess, in any point. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And this donut is also beautiful.
Have you answered this question yourself before?
Damn it, you're gonna turn around over. No, I haven't.
So what do you think?
Okay.
For Sabrina.
I just thought of my own mom, and if she's listening to this, she'll be so mad that I'm chewing my mom on the microphone. She'll be like, that chewing sound.
All right, I'm gonna stop now.
My mom's intense. Wait, what were you going to say?
My mom's intense, too. I'm going to get yelled at for eating a donut.
Oh, okay. Because your mom will be mad about the calories. My mom will be mad about the sound. I love that. Okay. The manners aspect to it. Okay. Okay. One thing I want Sabrina to remember about her mama. Ooh. It's hard being a guest on my show. Yeah. Oh man, I think that I was fearless, even though I was full of fear, that I would never miss out on an opportunity to like dance in the kitchen like a maniac. That I always respected this insane connection we have that I believe will exist even when I've passed on.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's so beautiful. It's so nice to think about, right?
Yeah. Ooh, listeners, send us your answers. Okay? On Facebook. And by the way, everyone, the Facebook page, you got to click on it sometimes because Facebook doesn't show everybody in the feed your stuff. It'll, like, if you put up a post on the feed, it'll show like 10 people until it gets enough likes and then it'll show more people.
Is that right?
It is so right because it'll say that. It'll be like seen by 10.
Oh, I thought that means that like 10 people like looked at it. Like they clicked on it or like looked at it. Who the heck knows?
No, I think it means that it's not in the feed.
No.
I don't think they bother. I could be lying.
I don't.
But I think it's true. Anyway, so look at the Facebook feed and look at atomicmoms.com. And Jess, what's your website?
My personal website is jesszano.tv. And there is a link to, well, everything. But really, TLC.
New Mom New Diaries.
Go to TLC.com and look up New Mom Diaries. It's there.
Oh, they're so fun. You can watch them in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God.
You know, when you're really having a low point and you're like hiding in the bathroom and there's like milk all over your shirt and you're considering microwaving a wet diaper to put it on your hard boobs that hurt, but then you're like, oh, it seems kind of like it'd be full of carcinogens. I did do it though. Anyway, you know, in those moments, look up this video. It'll make you happier.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you. I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm doing the same exact thing.
Okay, so that's our mom session this week. Everybody, trust in your goodness. Live out your greatness. Rock on, Atomic Moms.